Jill Hodges and her husband adopted their son from Guatemala when he was 6 months old. At the time, they had very little information about his birth family. But when stories began surfacing from that country about corruption in the adoption process and possible coercion, they wanted to find his birth mother to make sure she gave him up willingly and to lay a pathway for their son to connect with his birth family. Hodges chronicles that journey in Extended Family, which is screening this weekend at the Santa Fe Film Festival. So, Jill, what sparked your desire to find your son's birth mother?
Some of the main factors were that we wanted his family to be part of his life story growing up and not something that he learned more about or people that he met later in life. We also, the information that we had, we weren't sure how accurate it was. And we also know that life in Guatemala is pretty difficult. And so as a result, people end up moving a lot. So we wanted to act on the information we had while we could to have the best chance possible to find her. And finally, there were growing reports of corruption around the adoption system. And I started to get concerned about whether the information we had was accurate about who his family was. And we also wanted to make sure that he had been given adoption willingly. And we wanted to get that information as soon as possible.
You talked to people about birth mothers in Guatemala. What do some of them believe has happened to their children?
Well, this was one of the biggest surprises to me when I went down there. You know, one of the central questions I had that I wanted to find out about when I went down to talk to the searchers who find birth mothers for adoptive families was, do the birth mothers want to hear from us? Because I felt like perhaps we could be opening an old wound or intruding on their lives. And what I heard from the searchers was that the mothers are almost universally happy to have contact. And one of the reasons for that are there are some widely held beliefs in the country that children who were given an adoption were actually then taken in and used for their organs. And I heard this from a number of people. It wasn't just the odd person saying this. So I can't speak to the extent to which any of these rumors are true. And there were unethical practices, and there were very few answers about where these kids went. So I can see how those things would conspire to sort of encourage that kind of thinking.
You refer to some of these people, I don't even know what to call them, but they would go around the country, even to very, very remote villages, searching for pregnant women.
It's true that there were teams of people who were spreading the word about adoptions around the country, and I was very surprised at how far-reaching those efforts were. And a cynical person or any person might say that this was driven by financial interests. Clearly, there was money exchanged. They found women who were interested in relinquishing their children in adoption. But there is a flip side, which is that there were many women who were very poor and really struggling to care for the children they already had, and felt they couldn't care for one more child. And one account in particular that I heard from one of the searchers, and this is not one of the searchers who was looking for pregnant women. This is another kind of searcher who helps adoptive families find their birth families. One story that she told me was there was a woman who had some sort of an illness that made it impossible for her to walk. And so it was really difficult for her to care for her children. And when she became pregnant again, she felt she really couldn't afford to take care of this child. So I don't know how much of it was women who had this need who then found this answer, as it were, and how much of it was these people out there, you know, aggressively trying to convince women to relinquish their children in adoption.
Talk about the other kind of searchers that you found there and you traveled with. What is their role? What are they doing?
Yeah, there are a number of people who are commonly referred to as searchers, and what they do is they help adoptive families locate their children's birth families. And sometimes they also then help the families connect and continue some sort of a connection. And that can be anything from delivering letters and photos and visiting the families periodically and sort of giving an update on how they're doing, to also bringing supplies, food supplies or filtered water, or helping equip the family with a stove or some, you know, that doesn't bring smoke into their house. There's a range of things that these folks who act as searchers do, and it sort of depends on the needs of families on both sides. They have a really challenging job because the records around adoptions are not always accurate. There are irregularities in the paperwork for a variety of reasons, and so the address that they might have for a particular woman may or may not be anywhere close to where she is. So it can take quite a bit of searching and sometimes in some pretty dangerous circumstances to find a woman. And adding to the complexity is the fact that there's a huge stigma around adoptions. And so the searchers need to be incredibly careful when they approach a woman to make sure that they're not revealing her as a woman who gave a child an adoption. And they have all kinds of ingenious tactics for finding ways to speak with a mother alone and let her know why they're contacting her. Because of that need for privacy, often if an adoptive family decides that they want to have some sort of ongoing contact or maybe provide the family with a little support, that needs to be done in a way that doesn't, again, reveal the fact that a woman may have given a child an adoption. And so if they're bringing food supplies, for example, they sometimes come up with a story that they tell the family, for example, that they were for some reason or another selected by some aid agency for this assistance.
Talk more about the stigma. You touch on that. It was shocking.
Yes, I was told that women can be banned from their families if it's discovered that they have given a child an adoption. I also heard an account of women who were banned from an entire village. They were taken out in the street, their heads were shaved, and they were beaten, and they were told that they were no longer welcome in the community. So it can be really radical and obviously ruin a woman's life and the life of her other children to have something like that happen.
So when you got to Guatemala, you found out that your son's birth mother might not have told her family about him.
That's right. And I was completely surprised because we had been sending pictures and providing support. And most importantly, we had been talking to our son about his family in Guatemala, and he'd made cards. And so we were really looking forward to making that connection. Then when I arrived, it became clear that that family might not know and that I might not be able to visit them as a extended family member.
How old was your son when you adopted him, and how does he feel now that he knows about his family in Guatemala? How have you guys handled that as adoptive parents?
We adopted him when he was 6 months old, and we've tried to make his adoption and his family in Guatemala part of his story as he's grown up. So we made a book. Is very excited to have siblings. He talks about, it sort of goes in phases, but there was a period where he talked about them so frequently that friends from school would come over and sort of look around the house and say, so where are your brothers? You know, he loved the idea. And in some ways, I think he likes the idea of having a big family, and then he gets the sort of bonus of being an only child and getting all the attention. So in some ways it works out well for him.
Do you have more plans for the film? I had a sense after watching it that there's a longer version or more you would like to do.
I think I don't necessarily want to make a longer version of the film. What I'd like to do is use this film as a way to promote discussion and understanding around this topic of connections between adoptive and birth families and international adoptions, because I think that with the increasing reports about corruption in various adoption systems, I think that the discussion has become quite polarized. And so I'm hoping that this will promote sort of a bit more nuanced discussion about what happens if a kid has been adopted internationally, then what? You know, how do you how do you make a connection? How do you best support your kid? And so I hope that this will help promote some discussion and understanding around that topic. But then I also would be interested in doing a follow-on project talking to adult adoptees more about their experiences connecting with their first families. Because one question that I had when I went into making this, is it okay for us as adoptive parents to be trying to connect with the birth families of our children, and or should we be allowing them to make that decision when they get older? And I think that adult adoptees can help inform that question.
What's the plans for the film after Santa Fe?
Well, we're going to do festivals for a little while, and after that we do want to distribute it more generally, either online or via DVDs. But we're also doing discussion groups. I've had requests from groups from around the country who are interested in some of the questions the film explores. And so hoping to do a few tours to the East Coast and the Midwest and meet with groups of families and use this as a way to sort of kick off the discussion on some of these issues.
Jill Hodge's film, Extended Family, will show at the Santa Fe Film Festival on Sunday, December 9th, with other films starting at noon at the Center for Contemporary Arts. For more information, go to santafefilmfestival.com. There is a link to a trailer of the film at kunm.org. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamerick.